Good morning. We're very thankful to have you tune in and stay with us throughout the program here on the Gospel of Grace. We've been trying to consider during my time on the program the topic of the providence of God. And providence speaks of God's not just foreknowledge, not just God's omniscience, but the way in which God procures everything that is necessary for a future need with this perfect vision that God has. He sees every opportunity. He sees any circumstance that might come or circumstances that no doubt will come in our life. And the beautiful, exciting truth of providence is that God sees that need, but He is preparing years in advance. To ensure that that need is going to be provided for when that need ultimately comes to fruition. So this morning, we would like to look at the life of Joseph and the example of God's overruling providence in the life of Joseph. And as we pick up the story of Joseph, we first find him when he's age 17, and he's the favorite son of his dad, and he starts having these dreams. He starts having these dreams about what we find out later is actually his dad and his brothers bowing down to him when he later becomes second in command of all of Egypt. And just to give you the summary of the life of Joseph, at age 17, Joseph is sold into Egyptian bondage. His brothers wanted to kill him, but instead they sold him into Egyptian bondage at age 17. Then he goes and sold into Potiphar's house, the captain of the guard. And then he's very prosperous in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar gives him control of all of his affairs, and he's running Potiphar's house. But then Potiphar's wife has a desire to sleep with Joseph, and he refuses that. He runs away, and he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and now cast into jail. And then the keeper of the jail puts Joseph in charge of pretty much everything in the jail. He interprets the dream of both a butler and a baker. One of them is restored to his position. The other one is killed. And then the one that is restored forgets about Joseph, even though he promised him that he would mention him to the king. So then Joseph is later brought before Pharaoh at a time where Pharaoh has this dream that Joseph interprets as 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And then shockingly, Pharaoh puts Joseph in charge of everything to prepare during the 7 years of plenty to prepare for the 7 years of famine. Then during the height of that famine, at least 2 years into that famine, Joseph's family comes and there's a lot of back and forth. But ultimately, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers 2 years into the famine, and then all of the family ends up moving to Egypt. So I want to make sure that we set the benchmarks here. The first of those being that Joseph was sold when he was 17 years old into Egyptian bondage. And we don't necessarily have benchmarks of everything that happened in the sense of when he went to Potiphar's house, when he was accused and went to jail. But we know that Joseph was 30 years old when he was elevated to second in command of all of Egypt. Then we know that they stocked up for 7 years during 7 years of plenty. So then that gets Joseph to 37. And then 2 years into the 7 year famine is when his brothers come and he ultimately reveals himself to them. So then at that time, when he reveals himself to his brothers, Joseph is 39 years old. And just to help you with the math, that's 22 years after Joseph is sold into slavery at age 17. And what's amazing about this is that God suffered this to occur in his providence with a vision toward the future in such a way where Joseph was in the exact right place at the exact right time to be elevated, for a godly man to be elevated to second in command of a very ungodly nation of the Egyptians. And Egypt is consistently presented in scripture as the world, associated with Satan many times, associated with the kingdom of darkness. And God in his providence elevates Joseph to second in command of all of Egypt, not only to save his family. Remember, God had promised that the messianic seed would come through the lineage of Jacob, So it's evident that all of Jacob's family, and remember, obviously Joseph is one of the tribes, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, ends up coming through Judah. So obviously the entire lineage of Judah cannot die in the midst of this famine. And what did God do to preserve the messianic lineage and all of his people of the Israelites? What did God do to preserve them in the midst of this horrible, horrible famine? Well, God suffered circumstances to occur for Joseph to be in Egypt to make preparations during 7 years where there is plenty of food for them to be sustained during those 7 years of famine. And then 2 years into that famine, they discover who Joseph is. And then he brings them into Egypt to make sure that they're cared for during the remaining 5 years of the famine. So Joseph is just this beautiful, amazing picture of really just how dynamic the providence of God is. And I hope that this just excites your spiritual senses, because we're going to, a few messages from now, Lord willing, we will talk about Job, and then we'll talk about God's trying of your faith. And Job, in the midst of that, he says, Lord, I know that you're working on the left hand. I know you're working on the right hand, but I don't perceive you. I don't know how. I don't see it. He said, but I know the way that I take. And when that you have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And boy, that's what we see in the life of Joseph. And I can only imagine how he felt from age 17 to 30, right? And I believe that he had confidence that the Lord was there, but boy, it was hard to see it. But it was hard to see it when his own brothers sold him into slavery to the Egyptians. It was hard to see it when he was falsely accused and cast into prison. It was hard to see it when he was forgotten down in the prison. But you know what? Even though Joseph couldn't necessarily see the manifest hand of God in those exact moments, there was an unseen hand that was guiding him to, again, put him in a position not just to save his family, but to save millions of people by the wisdom of them storing up the plenty during the 7 years of plenty in preparation for the 7 years of famine. And again, the reason why this is such a powerful story is because God suffers things to happen 22 years in advance. I want to let that sink in. God's vision, God's knowledge of his will and what he intends to do, oh man, it's so much bigger than just the day in, day out struggles. And, you know, we are so impatient in America. We've been ingrained in this microwave fast food culture that everything should be ready in like 3 minutes. And we don't know much about patience and temperance and waiting quietly and waiting patiently on the will of God. But look what God was doing. Look what God was doing 22 years in advance. And then also, you know, again, it's just amazing how God, he sets things sometimes in our life that we don't understand for many years to come. And those dreams, God was giving Joseph a vision of what would end up happening. His father and his brothers would later bow down to him because of the position that he was in as second in command of all of Egypt. And he gave him dreams of that when he was 17. He gave him a vision and dreams of what would happen in a figurative sense, but Joseph didn't understand it, right? Joseph didn't understand what those dreams meant, but they were telling him, he could now see 22 years later, wow, God was giving me a dream of what would happen 22 years later, that God sent me before my family to provide for my family and to provide for millions of people to ensure that they were not starving in the midst of famine, that my family would die from starvation in the midst of this famine. So 22 years in advance, God gives Joseph a dream of what would later happen. Now, another important aspect of the story of Joseph is that the reason why he ended up where he ended up is because of the sin of others. Right? Now, God does not cause sin. We've talked about that during this series. God is not the author of sin. God does not absolutely predestinate all events, and all things without exception do not work together for good. And I want to go ahead and mention this. Hopefully, we'll reaffirm this later on in the message. But just because God does one thing one way one time does not teach a universal principle. And Joseph is an amazing, exciting story of God's providence, isn't it? But many people go to the story of Joseph and some of the verses that we will consider together this morning and use that as the proof text for the all-inclusive statement from Romans 8:28, that all things without exception work together for good. Well, that's not the point of the story of Joseph. The point of the story of Joseph is that in this circumstance, God didn't cause the sins of these people. He overruled them. That's the story of providence. That's the story of the Lord, is that He overrules the sin of others and the sin of this world. He overrules them and conquers that sin through His providence. So, yes, God moved in a powerful way to put Joseph in the right place at the right time, but we can never take one story in Scripture and use that to teach a universal principle. That's just bad biblical interpretation, and I would encourage you to never, never reach that conclusion to use one circumstance in Scripture to teach a universal principle. But God clearly suffered the sin of His brothers to sell him into slavery, to get him into Egypt in the first place. He suffered the sin of Potiphar's wife in lying when Joseph did the exact right thing. And the Lord suffered the forgetfulness of the butler until the exact right time where Pharaoh had a dream. If you think about it, if the butler would have got immediately restored to his position, and he went on day one, if he went to the Pharaoh and said, you know what, there's this Hebrew down in the prison that interprets dreams, the Pharaoh would have said, okay, so what? And then just moved on. But you know what? The Lord suffered the forgetfulness of the butler until there was a time where a man that interpreted dreams, why that person mattered is because Pharaoh had a problem. He had a problem and he needed someone to interpret his dream. Now, what would have happened if Joseph would have been restored earlier? Well, we don't know. But remember, the butler brought Joseph's name up to Pharaoh when he had a dream, right? So, all those circumstances, God didn't cause that. God didn't cause sin. He didn't cause those brothers to be jealous, to desire to kill him. But He suffered them to not do what they desired to do, right? Don't miss that point. They desired to kill him. He prevented them from doing what they desired to do. Instead, they sold him to traders that took him to Egypt. So how did Joseph arrive in Egypt to 22 years later save his family and millions of people? How did he arrive there? Because the Lord suffered his brothers to do a sinful action. And he overruled that, and he used it in such a way to bless Joseph and to bless others. He suffered it for a purpose. We see the same thing with Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife wanted to commit the sin of adultery. Joseph said no. He ran away. He was falsely accused. And the Lord, he could have stopped. And that's something important to understand about God's sovereignty and His providence. All of these negative things that happen, God can stop any of them. So why does God suffer them to happen? Well, we see in the instance of Joseph a little bit of a peeling back of the curtain of God's providence of why. We don't know why. And I would encourage you, we'll focus on this in later messages, Lord willing, but don't focus on the why. We just trust God in the midst of circumstances. You know, it would have been so easy for Joseph to be discouraged and have a bitter attitude when he was sold into slavery, when he was falsely accused and cast in prison, when he was forgotten down in prison. But you'll know what he did. He didn't mope around and saying, oh, why'd this happen to me? Why'd this happen to me? He served God faithfully where he was at. The Lord honored that. And look how the Lord, even though for 13 years of his life, Joseph had it tough, right? Joseph had it tough. But look what God was doing during those 13 years. So the sin of Potiphar's wife, you know, he could have struck Potiphar's wife dead. You know, he could have prevented her from doing anything that she did, but God suffered it. God suffered it. And then Joseph goes to prison. And then the butler forgets him, and the Lord suffers that. God didn't cause all that, but instead we see God overruling providentially all of these wicked devices of men and women to such a degree to put Joseph in the right place at the right time to save his family and to save millions of people. Genesis chapter 45 and verses 5-8. Notice Joseph's perspective. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. for God did send me before you to preserve life. Now understand, God didn't cause these events, but from Joseph's perspective, and that's important for us to hopefully have that vantage point as we see God's providence played out. Even when difficult circumstances come in our life, we still see God moving. We still see God's providential, unseen, overruling hand. And the way that Joseph looks at that is he didn't look at that and say, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. No, he could see with 2020 providential hindsight that God sent him before. And I want you to notice how he attributes this to God. Now, how did he get to Egypt? Because of the sin of his brothers, and really the sin of those Ishmaelite / Midianite traders who were doing kidnapping and human trafficking, right? Both parties were in sin, but you want to know, God suffered that and overruled that providentially to where God used that to send him to Egypt. So Joseph is not saying, you're the reason I'm here. No, he's giving God the credit. He's giving God the glory. He said, God sent me before you to preserve life. What was God's intention in suffering this to happen? I can now see through providential 2020 hindsight, I can see that God sent me here through your mistakes for a purpose, to preserve life. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth, to save your life by great deliverance. And so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and the ruler through all the land of Egypt. So Joseph looks at this situation and he says, God sent me here. But how did God, what are the means by which God used to get him there? It was the mistakes and the sins of others, but God overruled that and triumphed over that in his providence. But this is so important for, I think, us to have this perspective. From Joseph's perspective, God gets all the glory for it, right? I know logistically the reason why I got from the land of Canaan to Egypt was because of the sin of others. But from his perspective, he says, God sent me here. God gets the glory for getting me to the place that I need to be at, even though he suffered the sinful actions of men to be my actual courier to get me there. You know, I think about Paul in the New Testament. How did he get to Rome? He got to Rome because of the sins of others of being falsely accused. But guess what? God used that and triumphed over that and used the sins of others for Paul to get a free passage to Rome, not have to pay for ship fare, and then for him to be under house arrest to where he didn't have to pay rent in Rome. What did God do? God suffered the sins of men and triumphed over them and used them in a way that was very unexpected. But again, notice how Joseph gives God the glory for it. And yes, there were logistics that God suffered to happen of how Joseph got there that were the mistakes of men and women. But Joseph gives God all the glory for it. So then, later on in the story, Jacob dies and Joseph's brothers are afraid that now their dad's dead. Joseph, who has all this power, is going to exact vengeance upon them. So then they ask, this is in Genesis chapter 50, Joseph is not bitter against them. They ask for Joseph's forgiveness. And then this is Joseph's perspective of this entire situation. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And this verse is usually quoted in direct association with Romans 8:28. And I think if we just take this verse for what it says, it clears up a lot of misconceptions. What did he say? Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Ye thought evil against me. Okay, who thought evil? His brothers thought evil. That's a sin. So did God work together with their thought of evil to bring about good? No, he didn't work with that thought of evil. What did he do? He triumphed over it, right? They wanted to kill him. He didn't let his brothers kill him. Instead, they sold him into slavery. But what was God's intention this whole time in his providence, in his will through this whole thing? God meant it unto good to bring me before you to save much people alive, to save the messianic posterity, to save millions of people from famine. So God's vision of what he suffered 22 years before was that in this place, at this time, that he would put Joseph in the exact right place to save his family and to save millions of lives. And again, we cannot take one example in Scripture as the proof text for all-inclusive verses. And as we've considered together, Romans chapter 8 and 28 does not consider all events that have ever happened in the history of the world that God is secretly working with sin to bring about good. No. What did he do in the life of Joseph? Was he working with sin? No. He didn't cause the wicked thoughts and the wicked actions of his brothers. He didn't cause that. He wasn't working with that. What did he do? He triumphed over it. And that's what I want to make sure that we give God all the glory in providence, just like Joseph did, right? God gets the glory for it, not because he purposed for these wicked things to happen and he's working behind the scenes, behind the curtain with Satan and sin. No, God forbid. What's God doing? He's triumphing over that wickedness through his providence. He's taking it and he's overruling it and he's triumphing over it to his honor and to his glory. And I pray that we can have the perspective of Joseph. And yes, there may be circumstances that come in our life that may be difficult, but we give God the glory when we see all these things weaving together perfectly in his providence. And child of God, you may be struggling right now. You may be going through a difficult time, but listen, God's will and his vision is so much greater than our immediate suffering. But look how Joseph suffered for 13 years and his prime years to a large degree, age 17 to 30. But look what God was doing. Look what God was doing. I mean, I doubt Joseph just got fired up every day down in the prison to serve God faithfully. But you know what he did? He put aside those thoughts and he humbly served the people in the prison. And God honored that. God honored the faithfulness of Joseph and he triumphed over the wickedness of man in his providence, to his honor and to his glory. But one of the most significant things about the story of Joseph is how the Lord is working 22 years in advance. And I have no idea what might happen 22 years from now, but boy, isn't it exciting. Isn't it exciting to think about the fact that God's thinking 22 years in advance. Whatever need I might stand in need of 22 years in advance, I believe the Lord is working in his providence to make sure that need is supplied for. And you know what? I'm not going to be left destitute from now and 22 years later. I believe that God is working daily to work everything out to put us and others in the right positions to provide for our own needs, but also to help others in their time of need by his overruling providence. He's not working behind the scenes with wickedness for your good. No, God takes that wickedness and he triumphs over it and he overrules that in his providence that we see clearly in the life of Joseph. Men meant it for evil, but God triumphed over it for good. That's the story of providence and that's the story of the whole Bible. God triumphing over sin. God triumphing over the wickedness of man. We hope this message has been edifying for you. If that's the case, we give God the glory for it. Please tune in with us in the weeks to come as we continue our consideration of the providence of the Lord. May God bless you on this Lord's Day.